CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Have to view the relationship as this thing. So here it is. It's this invisible circle in the air. It's this object. Let's you and me step outside of it. Look at this thing. How can you and I make this thing happen, make this thing be happy and better, as opposed to me versus you?
Step outside of it. And if this relationship's this thing, this how do we, this ball or whatever, how do we make that ball like the best it can be moving forward?
Yeah,
rather
we're a team.
Exactly. Rather than trying to have a winner and a loser to an argument.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to RealPod. I'm Victoria Garrick, former D1 athlete and mental health and body image advocate. Every Wednesday, I'll be bringing you awesome guests, weekly inspiration, and the realest conversations around everything and anything. Now let's get real. Welcome back to Real Pod. I hope you're having an amazing day. Thank you for tuning in for hopefully another podcast. If this is your first time, welcome. Today we have a special guest joining us, a repeat guest, a two-peat guest, because you guys loved our first episode together. This past weekend, I celebrated my 4 years of dating anniversary with my boyfriend, Max Brown. If you guys are not familiar with Max, I had him on the podcast. We dove deep into his football story, his athletic story, which is truly a tearjerker. It's emotional. If you want to check that out, definitely go listen to his first episode. But today, Max and I are going to be telling the story of how we met. I've been wanting to do this for a while now. I couldn't think about if I should do it in YouTube or a podcast, but a lot of you guys have been asking for us to tell the story, and I figured it was perfect timing with this week being our 4 years. So Max is here today. We're going to take you through the story of how we met. It's quite entertaining. There's a lot of bumps in the road. I hope that you guys laugh a little and enjoy it. And then I also did want to bring you guys some value. So Max and I are ending the podcast with the three things that we think are the reason we've had such a great, stable relationship and what we think has allowed us to last for such a long time. So this first half of the podcast will be how Max and I met, and then the second half will be the top three things we think a couple needs to have a strong and steady relationship. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and let's get to it. Hey guys, welcome back to Real Pod. Here we are with Max. I don't know why I just said welcome back to Real Pod, because I said it in the intro, but I'm just excited that you're here, babe.
I'm pumped to be here.
People loved your last episode. Seriously, it got so many listens. How did that make you feel?
It was awesome. I think we knew that was going to be, like, we were hoping it would be like a dope episode, and I'm glad we did a rerun of it, because the first one would have been good, and I think it would have done well, and you guys would have liked it, but the second rerun was awesome.
Yeah, the second one hit home. But I'm glad to have you back. For people who follow us on Instagram or are intent listeners of the podcast and on our social media platforms, they would know this past weekend was our four-year anniversary.
Yeah.
4 years.
4 years, crazy.
I know. That's the longest relationship you've ever been in, right?
Easy. No doubt.
Me too. Yeah. That's 3 years is, I think people hit 3 years, but 4 years is, whoa, 4 years.
I know, we saw it in the dang comments. Everyone's telling me to get on a damn knee.
I'm like, I know.
Everyone, slow your roll out there. But
everyone, keep it up. Keep it up.
Don't apply the pressure. but no, awesome 4 years. And we were talking about the other day, we've had long distance. It's been 6 months long distance and 6 months together. 6 months long distance, 6 months together.
Right.
Or like every year, I guess every year has had 6 months of long distance, even if it's not like perfectly on and off, but yeah, it's been a great 4 years.
Well, today we are obviously going to tell the story of how we met. Many people have been dying to know. I say this as if like people really care about us, but a few people have been dying to know.
A few core listeners.
A few core listeners. But I do get this question a lot, so I would love us to do this because then I can just be like, check out the podcast, because the story of how we met is... It's not...
Link in bio.
Yeah. It's quite fun to tell. And also, we are going to end with the three things that we think have made our relationships so strong. So I'm excited to do that. So getting into it, Max, when is the first time you ever laid eyes on me?
The first time I laid eyes on you was a USC house party behind Frat Row. It was a house, I forget what that street was called, but I just remember my buddy Brandon Fisher from high school. I don't even know the last time I talked to Brandon Fisher, but he was there, we went to a party. You were there with your volleyball team. It was like this time 5 years ago,
yeah.
Which that's weird. We've been dating 4 years, but it was like this time 5 years ago, Vic had just reported to her first fall camp, as we call it, summer training. That summer, I was there because football, we never leave. And it was like a Friday, Saturday night party. You were there. I knew Rachel, one of your friends from that previous semester. And so, because she graduated early like I had done my year. And she brought all you freshman girls
she
there.
She didn't graduate early. I just think they were on campus before me.
Oh, really?
I think they were on campus a week before me. So they had gone to like one weekend of parties. And you guys probably met all the new volleyball girls. And I came...
Interesting.
I came late because I remember... No, it was literally just like a week before me. Bailey is the one that went.
Bailey, that's what
early.
It was. I'm mixing it up. It was Bailey. I knew Bailey, and she introduced her freshman squad. Dang, that's a name from the past. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, and that was literally, you guys, the very first ever like social / party event I'd ever been to at USC. The funny thing is, I don't remember meeting Max at this party.
Yeah, Vic has no idea who this scrub is. I for sure met her. I for sure was talking in a circle with her for a good 15, 20 minutes. So
met a lot of people that night.
On Vic's end, it was not love at first sight. On my end, I saw her and I was like, yo.
But to clarify, it's not like I can't remember because I had a wild night. It was just I met a ton of people. It was the first night out of USC. I think everything looks like a shiny ball. Like, it was just wild because you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in college. I'm at a college party. But yes, okay, so you said you met
me. And every guy was probably trying to talk to you and
no,
all that.
No, that's just, that's completely false. But anyways, a little bit of background on me. I was in a high school relationship that was on and off, and I was just kind of exhausted from that. So I was pretty adamant about being single my freshman year of college.
Even though that you probably in your head were like, oh, I have to be single, but you...
Yeah,
you're a relationship girl.
I am a relationship girl, but I definitely really enjoyed like having that side of me for a year and learning how to be single and like talk to people and like not have it be serious. So we met at that party, and then I think I would see you around. Okay, and then here's when I remember first seeing you. I was at a party at Old Mansion, which is you guys probably think we're crazy partiers. We're not. Like, we got to go out. I mean, actually, football.
We went out after games, but it wasn't like, I don't know.
It was definitely not.
Like, that's not like Tuesday, Thursday night.
It was definitely not every weekend. It was like once a month, literally. I remember going to an Old Mansion party, and this is funny. So the first time I can remember seeing you, like when I literally clock back my memory, I'm on a staircase. Wait, rewind.
You're on my staircase.
Yeah, I'm on your staircase.
That's why when you say, oh, Metro, it's my apartment. This is my place.
I like to think of this as the first time I ever saw you, but it technically was the second, because about 30 minutes prior to this sighting off the staircase, I was talking to a guy in Max's kitchen because he hosted the party, and I didn't even know this was Max's house. I just was like, I'm at a party. and this guy is talking to me, and I'm against a wall, like not against a wall, but I'm just standing by a wall, and this guy is on the other side of me. So I can see the party. This guy can only see me in the wall. And this guy just comes up kind of behind the guy I'm talking to and makes a face, mouthing the words no.
This like, guy being me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, me. This guy is Max. Mouthing the words no, shaking his head to the side, and like giving one of those like, nah, like cutting up his neck, like basically saying the guy you're talking to sucks.
Yeah.
And I had no idea who Max was. And I was just trying to hold a conversation with someone as a guy across the party was mouthing to me, like, don't talk to that guy. He sucks.
And it's so funny because when we tell that story now, it sounds like I was some jealous, bitter dude. But I swear at that point, obviously I thought you were attractive and like, ooh, like a little mini crush. But it wasn't me like trying to like undercut this dude. To keep a long story short, I just was not pumped on that guy and was genuinely trying to look out. And
Max does not have Max very, I've never heard you like dislike someone except literally this person. So, and now that I know you, I'm like, wow, if you don't like a person, there must be some reason. So anyways, that was interesting to me because I was like the balls of this person to do that. And then later on, I was on the staircase and I just see, I mean, of course, in your mind, it becomes this bigger thing than it is. I feel like I remember seeing an empty dance floor, like a blue light shining down, and you're just dancing like a weirdo in the middle of the, but just looking like the funnest, most like good time.
Just having a good time.
Yeah, just looking like the funnest, most good time ever. And I turned to my friend and I said, who is that? And she said, well, that's Max Brown.
And did I have the onesie on?
No, you did not have a onesie on.
I always feel like the story you tell is like I had a cow onesie on.
No,
which that was like,
no, that was know, when we, that was Lambda. So Max and I had a few of these sightings.
Ooh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
so,
that one, yeah.
So I definitely thought like this guy looks like a really fun, good time. And then we did start to talk and become like I started to know you. We would say hi.
Yeah.
From my,
like that was it. It was just like a hey, how's it going?
Yeah. From me, I knew Max had a crush on me. Like I knew
yes,
if
sir.
I was like, I knew if I was like, hey, I like you. He'd be like, great, let's go on a date. Like he was not playing any games or being secretive at
guess
all.
I thought I was hiding it more, but yeah, I had a crush on her right away.
And I'll be honest and speak to whoever this relates. I was not looking for a good guy, and I didn't know this at the time, but for some reason, like, the idea of a guy being like, hey, I really like you, I think you're really beautiful and nice, and I would love to treat you right. I was like, nope, next, treat me badly and don't leave me hanging at the party. Like, so I was not, I don't know why, I just wanted a bad guy. That's also like kind of what I was used to in high school, like a toxic relationship. I wasn't used to like healthy.
That to me is still so wild though, because like you're not the only girl that happens to, but like the concept of you wanting and going and get like the douchebag, sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but the bad guy that's just like, I don't know. Like, it's so, like,
it's not that we want a bad guy. It's more like we want, if a guy doesn't like us, we're like, why? What's wrong with me? So then you want them to like you. And then when a guy does like you, you're like, yeah, great. I know. I'm awesome.
And then 2 months later, you're like, when he's not the best thing ever, it's like, oh, well, why is he not doing this? It's like, well, you know what you signed up for.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree now. So then, yes, I would go to parties and I would see Max. And I remember kind of my vibe being like, Max is the most fun. Like, whenever I went to like a party, I would hope to see him there because I was like, he's such a good time. And I flirt with him and he's like, I'm a little puppy. Like,
get out of your little puppy. Yeah, right. It was, hey, we're going to Spudnuts after the party and getting a donut.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's going to buy it for me. So,
no. You've never actually bought my Spudnuts.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. That was the thing. I remember. I vividly remember this. It was like, oh remember, like,
yes, I do.
Brought to you by Cheryl Brown or something like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. I do remember Max buying me a donut. So this place called Spudnuts was a donut place. And so it was funny. Like, I don't know where I would spend the party, but it was like with other people. And then when it was like 1 a.m. or time to go home, Max and
That's where we laid the groundwork. That's where we laid the groundwork. 1 a.m., which sounds kind of sketchy, but
we would
1 a.m. Spudnuts donuts.
Yeah, we would go get donuts.
Not just us. It was like us and...
And like a friend like, or
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, Max is so funny and he's such a great time. So then let's get to Toga. This is... I think we can jump to Toga.
Yeah, but that's fast forwarding. So that party that we first talked about was July of 2015. And then now we're about to jump to February 2016.
So yeah, freshman year.
Vic has an all-star volleyball season. We're now off season.
Did we kiss freshman year? No. So then, because Toga was our first kiss. And you're sure that was 2017? Yes, because Natalie came to visit me.
No, that was 2016.
Oh, so freshman spring?
Freshman spring.
Okay. So, it was freshman spring. Okay, So
it may have been like April, so it's a little later, but it was March, April.
So there's this big party at Max's fraternity called Toga.
Why are you getting all excited? You're literally getting all excited.
Because this is a funny story. This is a really funny story.
Her knee's going crazy under the table, guys.
This is a really funny story, and I just think that this message needs to be shared. So there's this Toga party, and we dress up like Greek gods, togas. You guys know the deal when you hear that. So I'm so funny to say this in front of you.
It's so funny because our takes are – no, go ahead. Go at it. Let me have it. Our takes on this story are so different.
Yeah.
Like how we perceive that story or the lay of the land is just so different.
And this is the night of our first kiss. So I had previously gone to an invite with this guy who I thought was gorgeous, and like I didn't even think I was good enough for him. And well, my friend set it up, and we went to this invite together. And then the next weekend or two was this big party, and this is that guy's fraternity. So I'm getting ready thinking like, I want to go, like this guy's going to see me again and he's going to want to hang out with me. And like, he's my quote unquote mission for the night. Like, I think most people can relate to going out with the intention of I've got to find so-and-so. And so I get to the party and I mean, this boy, nowhere to be seen, doesn't care about me, doesn't want to say hello. He's already with some other girl. I'm old news. I'm last weekend.
So clutch.
So I'm like so upset. I mean, like you guys, you know, when you get ready literally for someone and then you get there and they don't care about you. And I remember having this honest to God moment in the party where I was by myself and I like took a deep breath and I was like, okay, we can go cry about, let's call him John. We can go cry about John and feel not good enough and like go eat, right? This one I was binging and just have a terrible night. Or we can go have a good night with Max Brown, because Max had been following me around the party and he was just like so happy. And like, I just knew like you had your eye on me the whole time. And so I was like, Victoria,
I thought I was being so much sneakier than that.
You were
so
not sneaky at all. I feel like if I just lifted my head and looked like 20 feet, you were staring at me from a corner.
And I thought I was being so sneaky. Yeah, you finish and I'll give my side of it.
So I basically had this moment of, we can cry about the guy that sucks or we can give the nice guy a chance. And I gave the nice guy a chance. And so Max and I basically hung out the whole party and we kissed a few times. So yeah, that was our first kiss night. Max, your side.
My side of the story, I showed up for the party and I mean, like obviously I had a crush on you, but it wasn't like I was going to the party like, ooh, tonight's the night I'm going to like try to make a move on Victoria Garrick. But I got to the it was like a huge back, like backside parking lot area. And I remember there was another guy, a third guy now. He had like the hots for you. And I thought he was like a little doofus.
Wait, who?
I don't know his name, but
This is a guy that we can never remember. You always like, bring him up.
He played water polo,
right?
I think. Yeah. And I was like, all right, this guy's a little doofus. And he like was like trying to follow you around. So I thought I was like the savior guy coming here and like while doofus mode is like doing all that.
So you were ready to give me another no with the neck cut when this guy talks to me.
Yeah. Also, and then like that, while the night's going on, like you're moving from one circle to another. And I'm like trying to be chill and like be like kind of right there and like try to like stumble in and like have a conversation with you. Little did I know, I didn't know you knew it. Like I was scheming.
We
this.
Know but, everything. Yeah, I got eyes on
I
everything.
Thought I was being sly. And then your volleyball friends were like, Max, go for it. Go for it. I don't know if you ever knew that. But it was Rachel and Bailey, I think, were like, oh, yeah. Like, she's go for it. She's
I can't
she's
remember.
Interested or whatever.
That's big.
That
That's
gave
big.
Me, that gave me a lot of confidence. And then I did the whole like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, stumbled to that. And then we're talking and, yeah, you know.
The lips are locking.
Is the, I was so hyped.
The green light from, oh, you were hyped.
No, get out of here. I was so hyped. I mean, I had a huge crush on you. And it was one of those things where, I never let myself, like, get that far. Like, or I don't know. It's like, it wasn't like I was planning on making this huge move or anything. But when that happened, I was like, all right, dope. This is awesome.
And then we lived happily ever after. Just kidding. There's more to the story.
There's more to the story. There's a little time lapse.
So
I knew something was different with this one.
Why did you know that?
Because I think I had a crush on you like from the start, and I.
Why me?
Because you're hot and beautiful, and I loved how you were sporty, and you were so nice, and you were so genuine. All those things.
Aww.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like when you do this podcast, and you're like, oh, I thought this guy was too good for me. I'm sitting here like, what the hell? Like, get out of here.
What, these loser guys?
Or loser guys, or just you were awesome. You
it's
were
hard.
A catch, so.
It's hard to have good self-worth as a female at USC. Like, the girls are so beautiful. I mean, in most schools, I feel girls feel the same way. It doesn't matter where you are. You go to the party or the bar, and it's like no one is looking at you. Like, you've spent 3 hours to get ready, and no one's looking at you. Like, and you just feel. You just don't feel good enough. And then the guy that you did kiss or
no
did
one's
hang
looking
out
at
with.
You except for Max Brown, like in the yeah. corner, just like popping his head out.
Yeah. And the guy that you did kiss doesn't want to kiss you again. And you just can't help but think, like, I'm not skinny enough. I'm not pretty enough. And so, like, I was definitely like low confidence. Yeah. I mean, I definitely just thought, well, I'm definitely not the girl to get here. So that was a self-esteem killer. Anyways, we kissed at Toga. It was fun. And then I remember you tried to text me, like, that week. And I remember thinking, like, I don't want to make this thing.
Slow your roll, Vic. Slow your roll. Don't make this a thing. That's so funny.
I mean, it was 5 months into freshman year. I was like, I don't want a boyfriend. I still was adamant about not having a boyfriend.
And this is where – and you still don't believe me. I'm interested to hear your thoughts after I say this. But I was in a similar boat. This is April – of all my best friends are year above me, so they're all graduating. And the last, like, month or two, 6 weeks of graduation for those guys, like, there's a lot of cool stuff, especially at that time in football season. It's like that's the off season. It's past spring ball. You have the most free time of the year. And so even me, I swear, and you still don't give me the time away, but I was like, all right, Brown, like, girlfriend, that's a heavy commitment right now. Like, you're about to have a lot of grad festivities with with these guys. You're about to, like, but like just a bunch of just things are going on. Do you want to start a brand new relationship then? And sure, if you said Max, like I would have gone for it. But I wasn't like I wasn't texting you every day. I wasn't like that.
And I can buy that because I remember thinking I had kind of ruined whatever it was we had, like, which was a little flirtation crush thing. And, like, we had kissed, like, once or twice after that at, like, various parties, but, like, nothing real.
Wait, we also skipped a huge part of this.
What part?
When I asked you to...
Yeah, I was just getting to that.
Okay, but I think Toga was after that.
Oh, yes. So it was like... No, this was like the week or two after Toga.
Okay.
Oh, yes, because this was when I was like, whoa, slow your roll.
Yeah,
the week or two after Toga... I'll let you tell this.
Week or two after Toga, I had an invite from my fraternity, hence a social
you guys,
deal.
We sound like we're frat stars. We're not. Like, yeah. Max and I could not have been less involved in Greek life, but... I mean, freshman year, you're just going to things a lot. And a lot of athletes went to these things too, even if they weren't in Greek life. So just disclaimer.
Had an invite and I asked Vic, from our Spudnut Donut sessions, I knew her favorite was like Nutella. So I got Nutella. It was a big deal. I remember one of my best buds, Jeff Miller, dropped me off at her, was it sorority? It wasn't your apartment. Yeah, sorority. I like dropped off this.
You didn't even have a pledge to it?
No, I did it. I hand delivered it.
Oh.
That might not be true.
Yeah, there's no way. You bring them to Lambda and then the
But I guess I hand delivered it to the house, but I guess it doesn't count. Anyways, and the big thing there is we had an invite and I did not text Vic the night before. Anyone listening can relate to when you're going on a dance, you have like your friends feel it out. You drop the text like, hey, would you want to go to invite with me? One of those things. I wanted to do it the old fashioned way. I wanted to genuinely like surprise her and not do that. And so I dropped off the invite or the delivery. That's what I'm looking for.
And wait, let me add this because you won't say this. The guys who ask girls to invites, like, not great gifts. Like, just a card, a bag of candy. Like, for Max to get me a ginormous jar of Nutella, a card, and put it in a bag with tissue paper, like, that was very cute and thoughtful. And, like, that was not something guys did.
Yeah, and that's something I did. That was the first time I was hyped. I was ready to go with this with this delivery.
Sweet Max.
And so I dropped that off Monday night, and then it was like Monday at like, I don't know, 9:30. I got a text from you, and it was a sweet text, but it was like, hey, I'm going with someone else already. They asked me the day before. So I was like, gosh dang it, if I just texted her 24 hours earlier, I could have reserved my spot, for lack of a better term. And so... that was kind of the point where it was like, ah, well, shucks. And then we just like, not moved on. That sounds harsh, but that was kind of like, oh, like, it slowed the momentum, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, I got a text the night before from a different guy saying, hey, tomorrow I want to ask you in a delivery to my invite.
Week.
Yeah. It's kind of like reserving.
Get out of here.
Because you never know what delivery is going to come first. And I said yes to go with him, just as friends.
Different frat, too,
but
I
then,
believe.
Yeah, but then when Max sent me his, I remember reading it, and I remember it never said, I forget it said, like, four. Spudnuts round.
A lot of inside jokes.
It was like, because we were both number four, so he was like, hey, four.
Spudnuts round two. For invite round one.
Love four.
That's what it was.
So cute.
Spud Nights Run 2 for invite round one. That's right.
Yeah, that was so cute. And so I remember getting this, like, oh my gosh, this guy is so precious and sweet. But, like, if I go, it's – I was actually
– I don't know if I can ever find these pictures, but I kid you not, and this sounds like me being all sappy or whatever, but when I remember outside, being outside Cardinal Gardens, which was the apartment kind of, like, past the row, and Jeff, one of my best buds, could see how excited I was. Like, I was pumped. Like, I put a lot of effort in it. And he's like, all right, Brown, like, what, he said something like, all right, Brown, what if you just found your future wife or something like that?
Jeff would.
And, like, and I think I still have a picture of the card. I mean, the card's got to be somewhere.
But it was stuff
like that. I think kind of knew this was a little different. This wasn't just the, hey, I want to go to invite. Like, this is, there's some skin in the game.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I would have slowed
this
down.
Yeah, get out of here.
So that is so cute.
But then when that happened,
it makes me feel bad looking back at all this. Well, so then,
not even.
I remember trying to get out of this. So I felt bad. And so I texted Max. I remember saying, if someone didn't ask me, like, I would have loved to go with you. And then I said something like, keep me in mind for the next one. Like, I tried to be really nice. But then the next one was my invite where I had to ask someone. And this
is. I'm forgetting. Continue.
So remember, you thought Max thought, oh, Victoria will ask me to this invite. So when you declined an invite from a different girl?
I declined an invite from a different girl.
So Max, basically we're getting ready for my sorority's dance. And Max had been asked earlier in the week with like a big generous gift by a different girl. Max, will you come to my invite with me? And he said no. In pure hopes that Victoria Garrick's going to ask me.
But this makes me sound like a little softy. I wasn't clueless, and I wasn't just, like, waiting by the door, like, frantically, like, come on, invite me.
But I remember thinking to a girl's full invite with, like, the whole fifth she got you and stuff.
Yeah, because I wasn't, like, over the moon about it, and I wanted to hold out hope for you. But it makes me sound like a clueless person. I thought there, like, there definitely was potential that you could ask me. I don't remember the ins and outs, but I wasn't, like, just some clueless dude that, like...
You definitely weren't, and I did consider you, obviously.
Oh, nice. No. Nice. I was considered. Nice.
No, I just mean, like... I'm saying you weren't far off.
I might be opening a can of worms here, but you got to tell your fans about the diary entry about this time of year.
I feel really bad. Like, and this story makes me sound like the worst ever because Max is a gem of a human, and if I ever lost him, I would never be able to live. So I can't believe that it took me this long to like realize he was the best thing ever. But so Max, the diary he's talking about. I had a diary freshman year. I'm so glad I had it.
I still went to a different invite, a third.
Yes.
Invite.
Oh, yeah. We know who you went with. Max will always bring this up. I can't get into it. Maybe, who knows? She's listening. But let's just say when I didn't invite Max, not like the kid had nothing to do. He had things to do. He was on the football team at USC. But anyways, I remember debating with my friend, should I bring Max or should I bring this guy from water polo?
Bring the water polo, man.
And I ended up being so stupid and choosing the other guy. And it was the worst night. He was so boring. I so regretted it. I thought I had ruined it with Max because you Snapchatted me the night of invite saying, hey, what's up? And I was like, hey, how are you? And you were like, you look so nice. Where are you going? And I was like, invite with someone else. So I felt bad, but it didn't.
My invite was awesome. It's a great time.
I hate you.
Seriously, it was one of the best invites of USC.
Okay,
so yeah.
Oh yeah. It's okay. You can have that. I deserve it. So then this is kind of where things changed a little bit. So then this was the summer after freshman year. And so that's a full year of Max and I is like kind of flirting, knowing each other stuff. Then it is the summer and we texted a few times. Max is a big LeBron James fan. So at the time he was a big Cleveland fan. I'm a big Warriors fan. I'm from the Bay. And so obviously they're rivals and there were like a bunch of those games going on between the two teams. So we would kind of text and like give each other jokes about Warriors versus Cavs. And then I had always been telling my mom about you. Like I always...
Lainey's always had my back.
I have always been...
Always had my back. You, shout out Lainey.
As much as we didn't have like a significant thing, in my diary to my mom, I was like, and the Nutella boy. Like she knew you as Nutella boy.
Nutella boy.
And so I remember in the summer, something like my mom said something like, what about sweet Nutella boy? Like, she just gives you Nutella, you have a letter, you always have a good time with him. Like, just give that guy a chance. And
you guys for sure were, like, pointing me out as just some softie.
No, no. But I definitely, like I said, I knew, you can see you're a good guy. Like, no bone or part of your body seems like you're a, quote, douchebag, like you said. And And then on top of that, too, shout out Grant Moore. I was at something. So my mom says that, and it has me thinking about it. So I start texting Max and Snapchatting him a little bit more. And then I go to this, my friend's birthday party, and our mutual friend Grant is there. And he's like, so, like, what about Max? Like, you guys had, like, a little thing going for a little bit. Like, he just, like, comes on strong asking me about my feelings for Max. And I just kind of, like, am dodging around the question.
That's what I'm talking about, Grant Moore.
And then Grant, and I will never forget this, goes on to this, like, rant about just how good of a human you are and, like, how you're just such a great guy and you're so funny and, like, how well you've been doing in football and, like, you're...
And I just moved in with Grant, so...
Yeah, and I just, as he was saying these things about just how great of a guy you were, I just remember thinking, like, oh, my God. Like, in that moment, I felt like a time clock go off in my chest, like... What have I been doing? Like, my time is almost out. Like, and this guy is so great, and I just haven't been taking it seriously at all.
My time is almost out. I'm a freshman in college.
No, I thought my time with you was out. Like, because I had...
I guess little did you know that I was going to transfer because I had, 5 months later.
I had done something similar in high school with a guy where he's a really great guy, and, like, I wanted to feel it, but I didn't feel it where I needed to. The time I did, shush up. By the time I did, he was like, no, thanks, sorry, like, I'm over you. And so that's why I got that feeling in my stomach, because I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to lose Max. And so that night, this is the 17th of July, I remember, like, fibbing on Snapchat and saying, oh, yeah, I'm watching.
Wait, that conversation happened on July 4th. So there was like a couple weeks, yeah.
No, that was the 4th of July party. That was Taylor Whitty's birthday party.
Oh, okay.
So it was the 17th because that's her birthday.
Gotcha.
And then, so that night, I remember Snapchatting Max and he was like, if you guys are still listening, I really am glad you care about us this much. I'm like, we have told every little crevice of our story. So that, we're almost done, don't worry. So I go home and I Snapchat Max and he's like, oh, I'm watching the O.J. Simpson Made in America series. And I go, me too.
Just lies.
A lie.
Lies.
A lie. And I go, what episode are you on?
And I go, episode 4. It's
no,
perfect.
You said episode 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, dang it. I got. I thought it was 4.
No, it was episode 3 because we're the 4s. And I remember thinking, like,
I could have swore we watched OJ 4, right?
Go ahead. Yeah, we watched 4.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you Snapchatted me saying I'm on 3.
Oh.
So then I said.
But I invited you to watch 4.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So Max says, well, I'm on 3. And I go, me too. And I think I said something like, we should watch 4 together. Like, I lied about watching this show. Obviously, I knew the OJ trial, so I wasn't going to, like, come in blind. But, I basically kind of weaseled my way into Max saying, like, giving him the perfect alley-oop to invite me over and watch this because we had been on the same episode. So Max invites me over. We watch episode 4 the next night. Wait, tell them what happened before I came over.
Before she came over, so this is going to sound once again like I'm just teeing up some
maybe
romantic
maybe you are a
thing.
Hopeless romantic. Just
Who
embrace
knows?
It.
But that was the first time, or maybe second time, like I had like a formal invite to a girl to come over, like, and hang out, like, midweek, whatever, and, like, watch something. Like, this felt, like, different. I remember, like, looking myself in the mirror, and this is just how I'm wired. I'm always thinking, like, 5-10 years ahead. Like, this is just, it's a blessing and sometimes a curse, but more often than not, a blessing. And I remember looking myself in the mirror, like, as if I was, like, brushing my teeth or whatever, and I was like, Max, like, this could be it. Like, this could be, there could be no going back to the single life. I remember literally looking myself in the mirror and staring at myself for a good 5 to 7 seconds, like, all right, Brown, here we go. And sure enough, 4 years later, here we are. But I just knew, like, you could feel some was a little different.
And that was really the moment that our whole trajectory changed. I went over to watch that show. Max was such a gentleman. We watched the show in his living room. His friend was there. Like, it was not like, come to my room.
I was so wary of that. I was like, we're not, like, even if it's like, oh, he's really slow to roll. Where I was like, I can't mess this up.
I think is so sweet because when you think about Netflix and chill, it's like, let's lay in bed and watch a show on my computer. And I get there and Max is like, we're going to sit in the couch in the middle of the living area where people walk by and we're watching it on the TV. And I think, yep. I remember not expecting that. I was like, I thought we were going to your room.
Yeah, see, I was like, and I thought you were like, if I invited you to my room, which I had like a couch in my room, so actually wouldn't even been like that weird. But if I had done that, I would have thought you'd been like, no. But that's the vibe I got from you at that stage in the game.
But that's true. I'm not a fast person, and regardless of where we are watching a show, if it's on top of your bed or on a couch, that's not going to affect like my morals and my choices. So I think I would have just known like you could take me anywhere, like, but I know what I'm not doing or doing. So
that's why I had a huge crush on you, because I knew that, and I had no problem like slow, like going slow and steady, you know. So.
And I remember honestly I was like bummed we were in a public place in the house because I was like, I want to kiss you.
I live with 7 dudes for all you guys listening. So.
Which is also big too, is that like you weren't like hiding me. It was like, let's sit in the middle of my house with 7 dudes.
And it also was like a thing. It was like, ooh, Max is having Victoria Garrick over. Everyone go to their rooms and watch their stuff on their laptop except for Matt Miller joined us, which I love Matt.
Yeah, one of Max's friends sat and watched the show with us for like 2 hours. And I remember thinking, does this guy not like get a hint? If I was Max, I would text him and be like, please leave.
No, I respect it. Minnie, if you're listening, I respect it. That was clutch. Because then it wasn't like a formal like...
Yeah.
For a first hangout, it wasn't like a date on the couch. It was kind of like, oh, we're just like... It's just us and he was there. I don't blame you for being like, all right. From your point of view, being like, all right, what's this guy doing here? But from my point of view, it was like, she just came over. She just came over to watch a TV show. Little did we know, behind the scenes, we were all like planning and scheming.
Yeah, and I remember getting ready for that exact night with the volleyball team after practice. I like brought the leggings and Converse, and I was planning my super cute casual outfit that looked like I didn't try hard because I just came from practice. So shout out Minnie too. I love him now, so it's funny thinking about it. And from that moment on, it was different, and I remember that night we did kiss, and that was the first time we kissed. I like blacked out, and I don't remember it. And that's when I knew. And this is like
wait, blacked out.
Yeah, like I don't remember kissing you.
Okay, yeah. We've had some alcohol references in this podcast. There was no alcohol involved then.
But I've never. I rarely drink a lot, so I never had even blacked out before. But in that moment, I just had such a tingling butterflies for you that when you kissed me. I like don't even remember it because I just was so excited.
I was hyped.
And then
I was juiced. Yeah.
And then I went home that night, and that's where I took the video on the bike, which I just put in my TikTok to my friends, and I was like, we had such a good time. I think he's so great, and I'm just really excited. And from that moment on, we were inseparable. We spent the next like 3 weeks together. That was it.
That was it. What did I say? You always give me crap. What did I say after I went in for the kiss?
Like, so you're like, I'm so sorry, I just wanted to do that. He kissed me mid-sentence. I was talking about something and he just dove in.
I mean, that makes me sound like a just creeper.
No. It was wanted. I was sitting very close to him. You know when you're like looking at them closely and getting closer? Yes, obviously, please always get consent. But I feel like I was very happy that you kissed me. I wanted you to kiss me. I was giving you the signs at the time.
Yep.
But
we executed.
Yes, we did. Well, that's the story of how we met. We're going to take a quick 2-second little break and come back for our 3 biggest things that we think have given us a strong relationship. We'll be back in a sec. Hey guys, quick little break in the action. I just got a cell phone number with Community. So I have the ability to text all of you. Yes, it's me texting you from my phone, and I can send you my weekly words of wisdom, my random thoughts of the day, keep a little realness in your life, some inspiration. So if you guys are interested in that and wanting to receive my texts and be able to text me, go ahead and do that right now. You can do it on your phone, 1-213-214-0917. You can text me. I really want to hear from you. 1-213-214-0917. Tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. I will definitely respond. And yes, I hope to hear from you. Okay, let's get back to the episode. Max and I are about to go over the 3 things we think are super important for a long-lasting relationship. We thought long and hard about these. Just kidding. We came up with them last night in the car on the way to Dairy Queen.
We don't even have a name for the third one.
We didn't. But I don't feel like these are very right. Like that's why they came to us so easily.
Totally.
So our first one, this is what has worked best for us to have a great relationship. And if you want to incorporate this into your relationship, I honestly don't see the fault. Like, I only see these things being positive. Our first one is set the standard.
Set the standard. And it's worked both ways. And what we mean by is, I look back on like the first 3 months of our relationship, which that's usually when people are like filling each other out. Like a lot of people let things slide in that phase because you are in the crush phase and you want to just make it work with whatever, like however, like it works out.
Let's be specific. Like what slide? Like sassy comments and little snippiness and emotional.
Well, for me, the one that jumps out is like the texting. So Vic was big on like long texts, me showing how, like telling her how much I loved her, like all the time. And like, if I wasn't doing that, it was, you know, like what, like whatever, there's something missing. And for me, I'm sitting there like, all right, this, like, I really do like this girl. Like, this is awesome. But these texts are just too much. And I think there's a lot of guys that like let that slide and just be like, oh, that's just kind of the deal. But I was like, wait a sec. We need to have a conversation about this. Cause then if it's annoying me and we don't have a conversation, then that's how something like gets all jumbled up and then it becomes a whole thing. And some of them are like talking. I was like, wait, what the heck's up with this texting thing? Like, you know, I like you, you know, we're great. You know, I'm showing you that, but the text, like that doesn't need to happen. And it's things like that, that you bite the bullet, you nip it in the butt early and you have like a difficult, semi-difficult conversation early on, but it doesn't come into something that's something you hate about your relationship years later, or something that is just, it comes together and it enforces like this huge fight.
And I was coming from a toxic relationship in high school, so the things I knew were very toxic. So what I wanted from Max and what I expected from my boyfriend was like not the healthiest things to expect. And so, yeah, one of them was like, you need to be proclaiming your love for me all the time. And then another one was like, why aren't you getting jealous? Like, Max, yep, when I go to a party and you're at a football game, or when I do this, like, why don't you ask what I'm wearing? Why don't you care what guys are there? Why don't you care if I don't text you? And Max was like, because I trust you, because you can do whatever you want. And I thought, and what?
And when those happen, like, they're little debates at the time. Like, there are, like, little heated conversations, but they're not this whole, like, I feel like a lot of people, they don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything, or let it slide, and then it builds up to this huge argument. And I feel like we've done a decent job of having, like, little debates along the way that have never got to a point where it's like...
And that's very much on Max. Yeah. Like, I won't try to pretend I was better than I was. Like, it was definitely me that had a lot of, like, toxic tendencies. And Max had to help me realize, like, that is not a healthy relationship. Like, jealousy doesn't mean I love you. It's not healthy. Like, I love you and I trust you means I don't text you. I say, have a great time. And, like, I just thought you'd call me when the party's over. And so that's stuff I had to learn in setting the standard.
Totally. And... you did it on my end as well. So what's the thing that you set the standard for me?
Just a little bit. Max has no sisters, and I just don't think he, and a lot of your friends do not have girlfriends. I just think he needed a little bit of, I don't want to say teaching, on just like things a girlfriend expects. Like, you know, when I do something like give a TED talk, let's give me flowers, like, let's do something. And like, and Max just wasn't doing those things, not because he wasn't excited for me and like didn't care, but he just like didn't know. And so I had to explain, I wasn't even as good as you at this. I didn't explain this well in the beginning. Like, 3 years into our relationship, this was still kind of an issue, and I had to explain like that thoughtfulness. And like, my love language too is gifting. And so like, for you to even, it doesn't have to be expensive, for you to get me cheap $10, $11 flowers from Trader Joe's, like, means a lot to me, more than it does you calling and saying, like, yeah, congrats. Yeah. So it was just, like, we had to alert each other of those things. And I think I really love this one, because when you're in your relationship, like Max said, you get habitual, and these things will last a very long time. And if you are just trying not to upset your person early on, and so you're just doing things that you don't like for them, it's not going to build a foundation that is super solid. And we've built a really strong foundation in where both of us feel equally respected. Both of us are able to call each other on things we don't like. And so we highly recommend setting that standard in your relationship very early on of like, this is how we're going to communicate. This is how we're going to handle arguments. We're not going to go to bed and not talk. You're not going to ignore me for 2 days because you're upset. We're going to talk through this.
Yeah.
And you have to set that standard. Otherwise, you're encouraging that tendency.
And so much of it is when you're a third party and it's not your own relationship, like, you know what is healthy and what is unhealthy. But I think some people, from my observation, when it's their own relationship, they let things slide at times, or they don't nip things in the bud or whatever. And so I think that's something that, yeah, we've done a solid job at.
Will you give your little happy wife, happy life spiel? Because I think that's important for girlfriends to hear, and boyfriends as well, who this might get sent to by their girlfriends.
Yeah. And I still struggle, like, bringing this to words. But
I think your point's good.
I hate the term happy wife, happy life. And it's easy for me to say that as a 25-year-old dude who's not married. So if there's any 50-year-old dads listening to this, they might be rolling their eyes right now. Like, oh, Max, you just wait. But in my experience, people that use that term have a relationship where they are very controlled in that they, it's, I do whatever my wife wants, whatever. And when you're a third party and you observe that, I think everyone sees, oh, that's not healthy. That's not the right way to do it. Oh, there are puppet tendencies, right? Or whatever. But then when it's your own relationship and you fall into that happy wife, happy life, do whatever, all that things, whatever makes them happy. Sure, it's all fun and games, and I know that the comment itself is lighthearted, but I think it's rooted in a lot of things of it's not setting the standard that is healthy of back and forth. I love spoiling Vic. I love doing things for her. I love, hey, Max, I'm thirsty. You're giving me a bottle of water. But it's not this happy wife, happy life where I'm just like a little puppet. And I think, I mean, I'm being honest, and I don't know, there's going to be some loved ones that are watching this. I don't think that is a healthy road to go down.
And I will admit that I thought, what? Like, I want to be happy wife, happy life. Like, you should do everything I want you to do, because that is, once again, like the toxic relationship standard we see in TV shows, we see in comedy, we just see. And so I think Max kind of helping me understand, like, happy wife, happy life can build resentment.
Like, even the wife doesn't want that in that scenario. You don't want puppet mode. Like, when you're a third party observing it.
Well, I like a person that challenges me. And so when you push back and say, Vic, you can do this yourself, or no, like, I don't want to do this, or I don't have time, like, you're never doing it just to be sassy or rude. Like, you genuinely have a good reason. I think I like a partner that challenges me and just doesn't just do what I say. And you do push back a lot, and rightfully so. And, like, that is why I think we've had such a great relationship. Yeah. Is because you did not allow me to be, like, happy wife, happy life in the beginning, because there were things I wanted, or why aren't you getting jealous, or why don't you care what I'm wearing? And, like, you could have been like, okay, sorry, like, I'll text you next time you're at the party. And you were like, no, Vic, I'm not going to text you. Like, I want you to have a good night, and I trust you. That's weird.
Yeah. And just to be clear, like, I love spoiling you. I love doing things for you. Right. But it's just that difference. It's that, like, expectation where it's
right
puppet mode versus actually
it's like,
wanting
it's
to do it.
It's walking on eggshells around your partner as opposed to not.
Yeah.
So like that. Anyways, that's our first one. Set the standard. Hope that is helpful. Moving on to number two.
Communication. This is like the obvious one, I feel like. Like, I feel like any couple pod could do that. But ours has been different because we had long distance. And so a lot of FaceTimes, a lot of texting. And I think at times when we communicate about issues, if someone was watching us communicate, it'd be like, damn, they're kind of formal. And people that know me, like, oh, formal Brown, like, oh,
it's not,
Max, you give formal. But we are very...
It's not formal, but we just talk to each other like two people who are very well-versed in, like, inner self-work. Like,
yeah,
you know,
true,
like,
true, like... Have been to therapy and a sports psych before.
Like
we
both, the way we talk, and you guys can probably tell from just our two episodes on the podcast, even in the last podcast I did with Max about his sports career, you guys heard me kind of push back on him and then call myself on being wrong. And that's how we talk. And so we very rarely are ever raising our voices. There's no swearing. There's no...
I think a big thing in... I hate this. I give myself a little credit here. I think a lot of times when we debate, we are not out to win the debate. Or like, I am not out to win the debate and walk away the winner. It's when we're debating, it is getting all the points in the air and coming to the healthiest, most beneficial long-term conclusion. And I feel like that is a little bit different than how a lot of couples debate in my experience.
I agree. You have to kind of, here's a good example. you have to view the relationship as this thing. So here it is. It's this invisible circle in the air. It's this object. Let's you and me step outside of it. Look at this thing. How can you and I make this thing happen, make this thing be happy and better, as opposed to me versus you? So really, you, when you're having arguments or something's wrong, instead of like, I'm attacking this person, you did this, 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 it's, hey, I don't know what your perspective is, but I feel really like I'm not a priority. Like, have you felt super busy? Like, did you even know I felt that way? Like, how can you guys together work on this thing? And secondly, this actually reminds me, last night, Max and I were with people and he was kind of challenging me and pushing back on my intuitive eating. He thinks it's a great thing. He's glad I'm an intuitive eater, but Max is not an intuitive eater and he's cautious about what he eats. And so it's just different. And in front of people, Max is like very, you know, strongly challenging me, asking me tough questions. And I could see a different relationship, someone being like, how could you ask me that in front of people? Why would you make me out to look that way? And I could see people maybe watching us having that conversation thinking, oh, are Max and Vic fighting? Like, I remember Danielle was like, I love this. Like, Danielle, it was like, yeah, she thought we were like arguing. And I was like, no, this is just Max and I talking about like something really deep and personal. And like, we love talking like this. So also too, I think with communication, just always giving your partner the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm guessing they are not out to, hopefully, they're not out to get you. They're not out to make you look stupid. They're not out to make you feel like crap. And if you are feeling stupid and like crap and like they're out to get you, there's a disconnect. So let's talk about that. And it is tough when, like, I could not be in a relationship with someone who was not on like my mental level. Like, and I just think you are, Max is there and more. And I like aspire to be where he is mentally, just with his optimism and his all that stuff. So make sure you're with someone that you can communicate with. And if you, I saw a quote, if you're not able to have the tough conversations, you haven't, there's no even relationship to risk ruining there. Yeah. Because if you're not having tough conversations, what really is there?
Yeah. Totally. And I liked your analogy of step outside of it. And if this relationship's this thing, this ball or whatever, how do we make that ball like the best it can be moving forward?
Yeah, rather than a team.
Exactly. Like, rather than trying to have a winner and a loser to an argument. That was a joke I always made to you, is I feel like so often in our early arguments or debates, like I lost every argument. I lost every single argument. But it like progressed things forward. Like, I was able to vocalize my points and all that. But it's about moving things forward in the most healthy way.
And I would say I've gotten a lot better at being like, I am wrong, or I should not have said that, or I was emotional about X and that's why I said Y. No. And it takes so much mental strength, you guys, to say, I spoke too soon. I think I was wrong. Or, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
You set your relationship forward 10x.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. Like, if you have perspective and you're like, oh, I was wrong. Like, the power in that statement is like, woo.
That's the thing about Max. If I ever say, like, this happened the other night. If I say, Max, like, you, yes.
I'll own it.
If I say, and this was funny because I was with Aubrey and I texted Max something and I said, like, I'm really bummed out that, like, you know, you let me down in whatever this aspect. And he responded, he stops typing, the message comes through, you're right, I need to do better, that's on me, I'm sorry and I love you. And I remember looking at Aubrey like, this is no fun. Like,
exactly.
How am I supposed to have a fun argument with my boyfriend if he's just going to apologize and own up to his mistake right away?
That's on me. That's
but then
on
as
me
a result, I have no choice but to be like, I love you, great, we'll be better next time. Okay, let's get into our third. So the third one, we don't really have a name.
We don't have a name for this. Before the podcast.
We called it life support.
Oh, yeah, life support. But that sounds way...
It doesn't really... Basically, what this one is about is having your separate lives and supporting each other in those endeavors.
Yeah, and just the power that comes with if you have your own lives and do your own things, but then combine them for one mega life, for lack of a better term, just how cool and powerful and healthy that can be. I think... it's genuinely not to throw shade at people that don't have that. I just think Vic and I were forced to have that because we did long distance and because we were college athletes when we met, that we truly do kind of have our own lives at times, own friend groups that over time have then come together to be like both of ours. And so rather than having being like
one thing we have. It's like, all right, now we have our two things, both Vic's pursuits and my pursuits, that have made things healthier. And I think it's awesome. Yeah.
I think being college athletes really helped with that, because I know what it's like to have a love for sports. And like, I always knew while you're playing football, I'm second to football. Like if a fairy godmother came down and said, you can have Vic forever, or you can have your football dreams come true, I would definitely not be the one chosen. And like, I think that allows, and I know that I have had similar dreams and passions, probably not at the time I met you, but just being able to support your partner on their dreams and know that like, you have to make sacrifices. And like, Max needed to transfer and finish his football career at a different college. And like, that was 5 months after we started dating. 5 months after that OJ date we talked about earlier in the podcast, he had to leave. And things had just started going great for us. So, but I have to support him on that. How can I make this work now? And then Max, after football did not work out, went to try a job of passion and spontaneity in New York City. And he'd never worked a job before. He loved the boss. He wanted to do it. And who am I to say, no, you can't do this? And so I'm like, okay, like if you're going to go, I support you. Like I'll visit you in New York. We'll make this work, because I don't want you to live a life of regret. And that is the type of support you need to have with your partner, especially while you're kind of younger.
Totally. And I think it's little things, right? Like, yes, there's the move to Pittsburgh. Yes, there's the move to New York. But it's also the Saturday afternoon when I'm saying, hey, I'm going to go to the beach with my buddies. And it's not,
yeah.
Like, it's just like, all right, that's like your day. And sure, you might come some days, you might not come other days, but you place value on me having great friendships, mm-hmm. just like I place value on you having great friendships and great career pursuits and all that. And it doesn't have to be like tied at the hip. And I genuinely, if that is the case in your relationship, I don't find fault with that. I'm just saying from our experience, I think we've had a lot of happiness, fulfillment, cool things because we have both been pursuing our own lanes, and then they come together and compound from my view.
Like, for example, if I had to say, oh, Max, I've got 4 weeks on the road, I'm speaking and I'm doing all these things, his first thing would be, oh, I'm so excited for you. Like, when are you leaving? This is so awesome. What a great opportunity. As opposed to, you're leaving me for 4 weeks. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're trying to get across, is like, you need to be excited for the other person to live their life. And if it's not even a successful accomplishment, like if I were to say, I'm going to live in Australia for 4 weeks with Aubrey because I've never lived abroad and like, I want to do this. He would definitely be like, okay, well, like haven't heard any about this, but like excited for you. Like, okay, I'll visit. I mean, it's just not getting upset that the other person is living their life. And you can be a part of that in certain ways. But this idea that we're going to do everything together and Max can never leave me and I can never leave him would never work for us.
Totally. And this kind of ties into some of the long distance stuff we've had. And if you are someone embarking on long distance, like, yes, it sucks. Yes, I would have been way rather like been around you all the time. But now that it's past us, it's made our relationship so much healthier and stronger, because like, if it's going to work out, like it's a weird test, I guess you could say. And just, I mean, it's shown just each other how much, like, I don't know, we've met and how, like, you know, just the how the relationship works out.
And a really cute upside of long distance is it almost prolonged our, like, honeymoon phase, because you left 5 months into our relationship. I was still, like, head over heels falling for you. And then you were gone for 2 years. And now we're finally in the same place, like, on year four. And I'm just so excited. We have so many new experiences to do together. Like, I'm not used to just getting to watch a movie with you and see you the next day. Mm-hmm. And so while long distance is hard, like, it does prolong the fun things you can do together, and it does make you stronger. I think only certain couples like can survive it. And when you do, it's like Max said, makes you really strong.
Totally. And I think anytime you're embarking on a long distance, there's a reason for it. It's school, it's a job. And I know for me, if I hadn't gone to New York, I think I'd be in a much more uneasy career mental state right now if I never would have moved out there and kind of turned the page on my athletic journey. So it's little things like that suck for that year, right? Suck for that 6 months, whatever it is. But in the long run, especially if you're sticking with a person, it's obviously serious. In the long run, I mean, I think it's so beneficial.
And also acknowledging that you have this in your relationship. I didn't think this was something I needed, nor did I expect it at all. I'm just like, I love you. I want you to do what you want to do. But Max has like many times said, thank you for letting me go to New York. And at first I was like, that's weird. Like I would never, like, you don't have to thank me. Like I would never like be the reason you're not going. But just the fact that he acknowledged like that was a hard thing for us to do and we didn't have to do it. And I did not put up a fight whatsoever. Just means a lot to me. And so it makes me feel like we're part of this team. Like, you consider me, and being considered is really important. So if your partner is letting you, I mean, I hate saying letting you as if they're the boss, but if your partner, if you do have this very free space to live your life and flourish and grow, it is important to once in a while say, like, hey, I love that we both do our own things. I love that you let me go on trips for weeks and like, just want to celebrate me like having a good time. So also always make sure like you are giving that little bit of communication back to step two back and saying, this is really cool that we have this. And like, I really appreciate it. And that positive feedback.
I love that. I learned that from you too. It was making sure, I mean, it gets back to point number two, communicating. Even if it's kind of a given in our relationship, right? Is like, we are going to let the other person do and pursue and all that stuff. But like you said, at least acknowledging it, just so, I mean, I'm good to go, but just so, like, for me, you know that I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think this was great, babe. Did you have a good time?
That was fun.
If you guys enjoyed hearing Max and I talk with each other, there is so much more content that we've done together. You can head over to my YouTube channel. I highly recommend, if you enjoyed this, watching the How to Be in a Long Distance Relationship video Max and I filmed together. We go through all these points that are really crucial to be in a long distance relationship. So if that interests you, definitely check that out. I also had Max do my makeup a few weeks ago. It's quite entertaining if you're looking for a laugh. Definitely check that out. And then last but not least, I did a boyfriend tag. So Max and I answer some very random questions about our relationship, which I think you might enjoy as well. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That would mean a lot to me. I am so grateful if you keep coming back every single week. I appreciate it. And if you want to stay in touch with me personally, text me. Text me at 1-213-214-0917. I have a number with community. I'm really excited about it. I'm able to send you guys my weekly thoughts and words of wisdom, hopefully to bring a little light, fun, and realness to your weeks. So if you want to text me, it is 1-213-214-0917. All the texts come from me, I promise. And if you double dog dare me, I will send you a selfie. I hope you guys had an amazing time listening to this and have an even better day. I will see you back here next week with an awesome guest. So make sure you come back. Thanks so much and have an awesome day.